Amen.
Praise God. Just before I do this, how many are filled with the Holy Ghost? Whew, bless the Lord. Let's thank God for that. Yeah, huh?
Yeah.
That's something to be joyful about. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. This particular poem is entitled, It Will Happen Again, and it's based on the flood of Noah. From the fall of Adam, things had gotten worse. The earth and its inhabitants brought under the curse. Violence and murder and hatred did rage, and it reached an epidemic with the men of my age. My name is Noah, and I walked with God for 600 years, watching blood stain the sod. God had grown weary with man's sinful ways and decided to bring an end to the men of my days. It repenteth me, Noah, that I even made man. Their hearts are all set to do all the evil they can. Noah, take your family and build you an ark. The light has grown dim, it's violent and dark. An end to this generation I intend to bring. I'll destroy all flesh. I'll wipe out everything. You have I seen righteous. No others are clean. The rest are corrupt, all violent and mean. Of their murderous ways, I'm bringing an end. A reign of 40 days I'm planning to send. I began immediately to construct the ark, to also preach judgment, which made me a mark. Constantly ridiculed for 120 years, they mocked and made fun and laughed me to tears. Turn from your ways, with them I pleaded, but they all turned deaf ears. I was badly mistreated. The end finally came. God said, it's enough. Noah, stop preaching. Gather your family and stuff. Into this great ark, I want you to bring the male and the female by twos of every living thing. Prepare food enough for your sons and their wives. I'm showing you grace by sparing their lives. The clean beasts by sevens, the rest by twos came. None of them frightful, but all peaceful and tame. You must hurry, Noah. Take your family within. Time has run out. I'm destroying all men. No time to look back at the world that we knew. We hastened into the ark. God shut the door to. After years of warning, that day came at last. Once inside the ark, things happened real fast. The heavens were open. The winds began to blow. The great fountains of the deep were broken up below. The rains came down. Increasingly they poured. The winds howling violently. In the darkness they roared. Inside the ark, the 8 of us prayed. Being driven and tossed, we were totally dismayed. We heard them crying as we sailed them by. Please help us, Noah. Don't let us die. But what can I do? I was only a man. This was God's doing. Didn't they understand? I had tried to warn them. I had preached and implored, but none would give heed. My warnings they ignored. Now God was destroying them, not leaving a one. He wouldn't stop the rain, and there was no place to run. Yes, it continued to rain for 40 days and nights. Dark clouds through our window blocked out all light. The world that we knew, we'd never more see. Wondering among ourselves how the next one would be. It was hard to imagine they would all be gone. Save for our animals, we were left all alone. Because of man's violence, their hatred and strife, he took from all nostrils the breath of their life. Every living creature, both the beast and the man, God drowned everything that lived on dry land. At the end of 40 days, the rains finally ceased. The winds stopped howling and their violence decreased. God remembered the remnant of those he had created. After 150 days, the waters were abated. Then the day came to tell the ark goodbye. God said we should leave, for the earth was fully dry. God gave us a covenant and placed it in the sky. And each time I see the rainbow, I can't help but cry. I lived after the flood for 350 years. I even saw Abraham today and knew many of his peers. I guess I'd best stop. My whole story you'll find in the book of Genesis, chapter 6 through chapter 9. But before I close, this I must say. The rain will come again, only another way. When you see the rainbow, please remember this rhyme, because they won't use water, but fire the next time. Yes, beloved, a storm is coming. If you want to save your life, run into the ark of safety that bears the name of Jesus Christ.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Turn with me over to the book of Zephaniah. I asked Brother Davis to bring that poem For those of you, if you don't know Brother Davis, haven't met him, when God baptized him with the Holy Ghost, he gifted him with poetry. And God's given him poems about just about every subject in the Bible, I believe. Praise the Lord. They're really a blessing. But I asked him to read this particular one because our message this morning is concerning not Noah's flood or storm, but that other storm. That other storm. And there is a hiding place. And praise God. You need to know that. And you need to get in the hiding place. Now's the time to get into the ark. Amen. Right now is the time. We can't wait. Praise God. There came a time in Noah's day, and we may look at those scriptures later, but there came a time in Noah's day that God said, yet 7 days. And he said, I'm going to destroy the earth. And yet 7 days. And in that time, they filled the ark. And Noah went in to the ark because of the waters of the flood, the scripture said. And God shut the door. And when God shut the door, that was the end of it. I mean, as far as those on the outside, they saw the storm clouds gathering. They heard the thunder. They saw the lightning flash. They saw things that they'd never seen before upon the face of the whole earth. In the history of time, the recorded history from Adam to the flood was about 2,000 years. And things that had never happened before were taking place. Amen. Just in those last weeks, and especially those last 7 days before the flood came. And yet they did not believe, they did not gather, they would not enter the ark. And when Noah entered in with his household, God shut the door. I said, God shut the door. And it was too late. There was a hiding place. There was a place of safety. But it was too late for those that waited until the storm hit in fury. We see the storm clouds gathering right now for that second storm that he was talking about. This is not a message this morning that we're going to bring that just happens to be something that I want to say or to speak, but it's something that I've heard from the Lord this week. Usually we go into fasting and solemn assembly the 1st of January, but this year the Lord constrained me that I could not wait to the 1st of January, and so we take December, even right through the Christmas season, as our fasting and solemn assembly time with the Lord, because we were constrained of God that we had to receive direction from the Lord. Praise God, that we had to receive direction for the month that followed, because we're in the last day. We're in the last time. Jesus is coming back. But there's some things that's upon the earth and coming upon the earth before the return of Jesus Christ. And that is the thing, as well as preparing for the return of Jesus Christ. The bride must make herself ready for the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. But I want to tell you something else. There's a storm coming before the return of Jesus Christ to this earth that you must prepare for, just exactly like Noah built an ark. Amen, to the saving of his household. Praise God. We don't build our salvation. Jesus is our salvation. But praise God, there's a secret place. It's spoken of in Psalms, the 91st chapter, and that is the end time prophecy, literally. Amen. It's going to mean something to God's people in this last hour that it has never meant before. Many a person has been kept under the wing and the feathers of the Lord in times past as they found that secret place. But this is going to be the place for the child of God in this last storm that's taking place. This is the ark that's written about in Psalms 91. Maybe we'll read Psalms 91 right quickly, and then we'll come back to our text in Zephaniah. Psalms 91 and 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid by the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because, and there's three becauses in this chapter I want you to notice. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Because you've made the Most High thy habitation. The first because. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. Set your love upon Jesus Christ. Said, because, that second because, he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him, and I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. There's the third because. Because he's known my name, and he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. This is the ark of safety. This is the secret place of the Most High God. It's the hiding place for the storm that is coming upon the earth. I said it's the hiding place for the storm that is coming upon the earth. And this before the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. Now then, in Zephaniah, the first chapter, and we'll just begin at the first verse. The word of the Lord which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushi, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah. I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of the heaven and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks with the wicked, and will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. Now this is that second flood, but it's not a flood of water. That second destruction, that second storm that he's prophesying of and speaking of, the beginning of it, it is even at hand. These are the storm clouds that we see gathering. You that can see at all, if you can see anything by the Spirit of God, you can see that there's trouble in the world today. There's trouble in the land. Storm clouds are gathering. Things are taking place in the world today that have never taken place before in all the history of mankind. Amen. Things that science cannot understand nor solve the problems of. Amen. Because things are different. The scripture says that the scoffer would say, where is the promise of his coming? For all things continue as they have from the beginning of the world. But that is the scoffer. If you're not blind, if you're not totally ignorant of the things that are happening in the world today, you know that this generation is different than any generation that's ever lived on the face of this earth. It's all around us. The evidence of it is all around us. And the storm clouds are gathering right now. I can see the lightning flashing. I can hear the thunder rolling. Amen. The storm is about to be loosened upon this earth in its fullness of fury. Now, I'm talking about the storm of the judgment of God that's coming against the world that will come before the return of Jesus Christ. Now, the other destruction of the wicked and so forth will be afterward. But we're talking about the time of trouble that was prophesied by Daniel. He said, and then shall be a time of trouble such as was not, nor ever shall be again upon the earth. We're talking about that time of trouble. It's upon us. The clouds are gathering. The signs are in place. It's evident that the storm is about to break in its fullness fury right here in this time. God said, I'll utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. I'll consume man and beast. I'll consume the fowls of heaven and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. I will stretch out mine hand upon Judah and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now notice this, against his own people even. He said, I'm going to stretch forth my hand against Judah and Jerusalem. And this was because of their idolatry. They'd forsaken the Lord. They'd turned to other gods. They continued to worship in the temple in Jerusalem and to offer sacrifice. But if you read the record over in 2 Kings, the 23rd chapter, this, remember, was in the days of King Josiah. Josiah was that child king that set about in 2 Kings to cleanse the temple of God and to seek to restore Jerusalem and Judah back to God. As they began to cleanse the temple, they found the goddess Ashtaroth, the goddess of prosperity, was in the temple. They found Milcom and Chemosh there in Jerusalem and Moloch, where that they offered their babies and burnt sacrifices unto Moloch. Milcom was the king god, the god of royalty. Chemosh was the god of power. Milcom from the Amorites, and I believe Chemosh of the Moabites, and Ashtaroth was the goddess of the northern kingdom, and all these different gods they discovered in the temple. They found altars where they worshiped the sun and the moon and the stars, all of it in the temple. This is a reason that God said, I'll stretch forth my hand against Judah and against the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I will cut off the name, the remnant of Baal from this place. In other words, those Baal worshipers, he said, I'm going to utterly destroy them. But let me tell you something. This is more than just a prophecy that was fulfilled in the destruction of Jerusalem in that day. It's a parallel prophecy for the last day, because we're going to begin to read in a moment in this chapter about the day of the Lord, the great and the terrible day of the Lord that's coming upon the earth in the last day, in the last time. But God said He's going to cut off the remnant of Baal, those that worship Baal in the land. He's going to cut them off from this place, and the name of the Chimerims with the priests, and these are the ones that He's going to cut off. And them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and swear by the Lord, and that swear by Malcolm. Now, notice this. He said, I'm going to cut off the remnant of Baal. I'm going to cut off those that worship the host of heaven, that's the stars, upon the housetops. Now I'm going to cut off them that worship and swear by the Lord, and that swear by Malcolm. Now Malcolm from the Hebrew is Milcom. It's the king god, the god of royalty. And he said, those within my house that swear by the Lord and by Milcom, the mingling of this generation. Amen. When the doctrines of devils have literally come into the house of God, into the church and among God's people, people that profess Jesus Christ and bow before Ashtaroth, people that profess Jesus Christ and bow before Milcom, the people that profess Jesus Christ and yet serve these other gods. What am I talking about? Again, Ashtaroth, the goddess of prosperity. Milcom, the god of royalty. Amen. The god that offers political power. This generation, the church, has bowed down to worship Milcom because he's the god of royalty. He says, if you worship me, just as Satan spoke to Jesus in Matthew, the 3rd chapter, in the wilderness temptation. Milcom says, if you worship me, I'll give you the kingdoms of this world and the power thereof. And the church has lusted after it, and the church has desired it. Well, God said, I'm going to cut off out of the land those that swear by the Lord and by Milcom. They use the name of Jesus and say, in the name of Jesus, we're going to possess the kingdoms, we're going to possess the nations, we're going to change the world, and we're going to do it in the name of Jesus. But God said they're swearing by Milcom. Amen. They swear by the Lord and by Milcom. Well, let's go on and read further in this amazing scripture. He said, I'm going to cut off them, 6th verse, them that are turned back from the Lord and those that have not sought the Lord. Notice these last two. He said, I'm going to cut off them that are turned back from the Lord. I'm going to cut off them, those that have not sought the Lord nor required for Him. Now, you know that fits some of us right here in this place. Amen. He said, I'm going to cut all these off. Those that worship devils, those that worship the sun, the stars, I'm going to cut off. Those that swear by the Lord and by Milcom, I'm going to cut off. Those have turned away from the Lord. And he said, then I'm going to cut off those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired after Him. You know, there's too many people, there's multitudes of people are caught up in a simple deception. Not false doctrine, not the heresies
of the land, but this simple perception that well, after all, we believe upon Jesus Christ. We believed upon Him. We're saved. We're all right. We'll just wait until Jesus comes and takes us. And they do not seek the Lord. Amen. They do not seek the Lord. Praise God. They believe, amen, that because they asked Jesus one day to be the Lord of their life, that they can't miss heaven, that they're automatically, when they die, regardless of the life between now and then, that they're going to be saved, that they can't miss heaven. But they've been deceived. It is a doctrine of the devil. It is a deception. It is a seducing spirit that would cause people, because they do not seek the Lord. But He said, I'm going to cut off those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired after Him. You know, some people would scoff. Some people would laugh about a ministry or a church or a people that'll set away for days and weeks in fasting and prayer and solemn assembly to inquire of the Lord. They'll say, well, why don't you look at the Scriptures? Why don't you believe the Scriptures? I do believe the Scriptures. That's the reason that I seek God, to understand what the Scriptures are saying to me. That's the reason I seek God for direction, amen, for the weeks, the month, or the year in the future, and come again later and seek God again. Praise God. We must seek the Lord, and we must inquire of God. Praise God. Don't you just get into the religious program and think, oh boy, I'm in the religious program now. I've joined the church. I've repeated the prayer. I've paid my tithes, attend the service. I'm in the program. I'm going to be all right. No, it's not that way. You must seek the Lord for yourself. Amen. You must inquire of the Lord for yourself. God is dealing with the world on a one-on-one basis today. Amen. I said with a one-on-one basis today. Amen. You're going to find out, the Scripture tells us over in Matthew 24, also in Luke 17, that it'll be as it was in the days of Noah, in that day that it eat, that it drank, that it married, that it give it marriage, and knew not until the flood came and took them away. So shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Two shall be in one bed. One shall be taken and the other left. Just like the flood came in judgment and took the wicked in that day. Let me tell you something. When this storm hit, I said, God is dealing on a one-to-one basis. You can be married to a child of God, a believer. Amen. I said, you can be married to them and joined in the bonds of marriage and be sleeping in the same bed. And judgment will come upon the wicked and upon the one that's hidden themselves away in Jesus Christ, that have sought the Lord and inquired of Him. They will be kept. Praise God. I said they'll be kept. Hallelujah. Well, the Scripture continues up. We've got a whole lot in this book of Zephaniah here this morning. But the Scripture, those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired for Him. Seventh verse, hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice. He hath bid His guest. Now, don't you notice, here's where we begin to date this prophecy. Here's where we begin to find out that this is a prophecy for you and I. How many have ever heard of the Feast of the Birds over in the book of Revelation? Amen. In that great battle at the last day, when Jesus comes, when He literally breaks through the heavens and returns this earth, where that He begins to smite the wicked and He calls for the fowl of the air and the vultures to come and eat the flesh of kings and of princes and of nobles and the rich and of the mighty, because God had prepared a sacrifice for them. God had prepared a feast for the birds. Well, this is what Zephaniah is referring to. The Feast of the Bird. He said, because the day of the Lord is at hand, for the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has bid His guest. Now, it's not talking about the supper, amen, for the child of God here. It's talking about a sacrifice, amen, a sacrifice where the men, the wicked, the kings, the princes, the nobles, the rich, the mighty, those that have not sought the Lord, those that have not inquired of Him, are going to be sacrificed to the vultures of the fowl of the air. Amen. Going to be meat for the vultures. That's what the Scripture teaches. And also in the book of Revelations, and also in Ezekiel, I believe it's the 37th chapter, the Feast of the Birds prophesied for the last day. And the scripture then tells us that it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children, and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. Now I want you to notice this king's children, 8th verse. It was in the 5th verse, those that swear by the Lord and those that swear by Milcom. Amen. Milcom was the king. I said Milcom was the king. But here he said, in the day of the Lord's sacrifice, I will punish the princes and the king's children. The king's children and such as are clothed with strange apparel. Have you heard, even in this generation, as increasingly the terms that religious people go by identify themselves? You probably at some time called yourself a king's kid. A term that was very popular just a short time back. And now the political move within the church to take political power, to take the leadership of the nations through political power, that's not God's way. That's Milcom's way. But God said, in the day of my sacrifice, I'm going to punish the princes and the king's children. Amen. Those that are of Milcom, those that worship Milcom, he's talking about this religious political movement that's sweeping the land of the world today. But God said, in the day of my sacrifice, he said, those are going to be sacrificed. Those are going to be punished in that day. And he goes on, all such as are clothed with strange apparel, in the same day, also will I punish all those that leap on the threshold, which fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. It shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that there shall be a noise of a cry from the fish gate, and a howling from the second, and a great crashing from the hills. Well, how ye inhabitants of Maktesh, all the merchant people are cut down. Notice the merchant people, all they that bear silver are cut down. Notice the economic systems of the world that are soon to collapse. We've got about a year, maybe less than a year, to get your economic house in order as much as possible to separate yourself from this world economies. Amen. Because notice here, he said the merchants of the land will be brought down. Amen. 11th verse, ye inhabitants of Maktesh, for all the merchant people are cut down, all they that bear silver are cut off, and it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles. You might remember March 15th last year, I believe it was. God had spoken to me, I believe it was the week before, March the 8th, but on the 15th I preached the message, God's call to separation. But I'd seen a vision in March of 87 where the word of God came to me and spoke to me. And I heard the voice of the Lord speaking, said, thus saith the Lord, as a man does wash a garment, he said, I'm going to wash my people out from the unclean. He said, I'm going to sift them out. I'm going to thresh them out. He said, as a woman does sweep with a broom, he said, I'm going to sweep and I'm going to find my people. He said, I'm going to get them out from the unclean. He said, when I'm finished in the unclean, there'll be nothing but uncleanness from the top to the bottom, from the pulpit to the pew. Now then, I related this a year ago. I saw the Lord. I didn't understand this, but in hearing the prophecy, the word of the Lord, the only thing I saw the Lord take a broom and begin to sweep with a candle in his hand to find and to search, searching the houses, searching the churches, searching to find his people and get his people out. But here he says this, it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. Amen. In other words, that church, that people that say of God, they're just religious. Amen. They're dead. There's no life in them. They say it's not in God either to do good or to do evil. In other words, we're just in a set of principles. Everything is already set up the way that it's going to be. And if you obey this principle, then this reaction will follow. They take the sovereignty of God from him through their teachings. But he said, I'm going to punish those that say that it's not in God to do good, neither will he do evil. Amen. In Jerusalem, he's talking about. Among God's people, in the church, he's speaking this thing. He says, I'll punish those that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. Therefore their goods shall become a bounty. and their houses a desolation. They also shall build houses, but not inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man, shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities, against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men that they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. Notice that. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. Let me tell you something. These events are upon us. I said they're upon us. I believe that we have a little over a year's time, such as I've heard from God. It is upon us. This storm is gathering right now. It's even beginning. The sprinkles are beginning. The winds are whipping up. I want you to know something. The full fury of the storm is soon to be loosened upon the earth as God begins to judge His people. And He said that judgment must begin at the house of God. Amen. We've seen just a little. But back in 1970, I had a vision of people's houses afire. I've told it to you before. I would rush across the country warning them that their houses were on fire, not waking them out of the night. And they would get their garden hoses and they would spray the fires that were on the roofs. And then they'd go back in the house and go back to sleep. And across the nation, houses were burning and were on fire. And again, after they were asleep, the fires would break out a second time. And I would rush back and I'd warn them and say, wake up, wake up, wake up. Your house is on fire. And they'd get up again, get their garden hoses, spray the roof, go back in and go to sleep. And a third time, the houses caught on fire. And I woke them a third time. Maybe it's the third or the fourth time, but I woke them and repeatedly they'd spray the fire and go back to sleep. But finally, either the third or the fourth time that they were awakened, they got their garden hoses, began to spray the fire, and before their eyes, their house turned into a house of sticks and straw, and it was consumed in a moment of time because they did not seek the Lord. They did not inquire of the Lord. They did not stir themselves. They did not wake up, but for a season, but for a time. As God spoke the message last March 15th, the end of message, it was spoken by the Spirit that the next thing that's going to happen in the church world said, as the earth opened up its mouth and swallowed Korah and his company and swallowed them up alive. I said, I don't understand what it means, but God said the next thing that would happen was that the earth would literally open its mouth and some famous ministries would drop out of sight. And 4 days later, the PTL scandal broke upon the scene. Amen. People were stirred. We received letters from all over the country wanting copies of the tape, God's call to separation. And people were stirred as they heard it, even on the day that the news broke. It was when that portion of the message was sounded on radio that the earth's going to open and they're going to drop out of sight. And that night, the news hit, being broadcast at 10 o'clock that morning because God had said it. But what happened? The church says, the people say, PTL crisis is behind us, and they've sprayed out the fire on the roof, but they went back in their houses and they've gone back to sleep. But I want you to know something. It's going to keep on being a burning and an awakening and a stirring and a shaking. But there's coming a time that the houses are going to be turned to straw and the sticks and the wood that have not built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And every man's work shall be tried as by fire. And the day shall declare it of what sort it is, for it shall be tried by fire. And anything short of gold and silver and precious stones that are in your experience with Jesus Christ is going to burn. Anything of this world is going to burn. Anything of the flesh is going to burn. Only that which is birthed of the Spirit of God is going to stand in the day that comes. Praise God. Well, glory. The Scripture says, their silver and their gold will not be able to deliver them. Economies, this Western world, are going to collapse. I said they're going to collapse. God spoke to me that Black Monday was a sign. Oh, it's going to do real good in the spring and the summer. Stock market's going to do fantastic. People are going to get used to making big money overnight. Even now they are in the fluctuations of the market. People are getting rich in the stock market right now. Amen. It's going to keep building. It's going to get back up. It's going to keep building. I don't know where it'll peak out. But the stock market aside, let me tell you something. God is the one that's in control of this thing. Amen. And as far as man's concerned, it's out of control. It's out of control. Men, amen, literally afraid of tomorrow. But the Scripture says their hearts are going to fail them for fear of the things that are coming upon the earth. Amen. And Jesus in Luke 21, He pinpointed that as this generation that you and I live in, beginning in 1967 when Jerusalem went back to Jewish control, that this generation would see all of these things come to pass. And this generation shall not pass until all things be fulfilled. Field. That's our generation. The economic systems are going to fail of the Western world. You're going to hear the howling of the merchants that were made rich. Amen. You're going to hear it. Hear the merchant people are cut down. The 11th verse, they that bear silver cut off. The 18th verse, neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, for the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of His jealousy. He shall even make a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Now then, what is the answer for God's people? What is the answer? I'm going to give you an answer this morning, and it is an answer that must be expedited. It's an answer that must be taken care of right now. As the Scripture said, today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable hour. Now I'm not speaking only to the sinner. And or the unbeliever. I'm talking to the backslider. I'm talking to the lukewarm. I'm talking to those that have left their first love. He said those that left their first love would have their candlestick lifted out of its place. Those that were lukewarm, He would spew them out of His mouth. Those that sat in churches and listened to the doctrine of Jezebel, He said He would cast them into great tribulation. To those that gave heed to the doctrine of Balaam, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, He said He would come and fight against them with the sword of His mouth. So He's talking to the church. He's talking to people that call themselves by the name of Jesus Christ, that profess to be the children of God. Praise God. Remember, He spoke to Jerusalem for their idolatries, for Judah for their iniquities. And He said, My hand shall be even upon you. Well, He says an answer. Gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together. O nation, not desired. My margin reference says without shame. O nation, without shame. Before the decree bring forth. Won't you notice four befores in this verse of Scripture? Before the decree bring forth. Before the day passes a chaff. Before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you. Before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Amen. Four befores. Did you notice that? The answer must be, the remedy must be found and sought after and obtained before. Beforehand. Beforehand. Someone said, well, preacher, I don't know if the things you're preaching are so or not. I don't know if it's true or not. I'll just wait, and when it happens, then I'll come. Then I'll get in an altar. Then I'll repent. Let me tell you something. Your heart is being hardened right now. Every time you hear a man of God and resist the Holy Ghost, your heart is getting harder and harder and harder, and you're being fitted for destruction. You're being fitted for wrath, just as Pharaoh hardened his heart against the Word of God, and he hardened hardened it the second time. He hardened it the third time. He hardened it the fourth time. And God said, Moses, you go again to Pharaoh, but this time I'm going to harden his heart. I'll not let him repent. And he began to fit that man for wrath and for destruction that was coming. Romans, the 9th chapter, where that he mentioned Pharaoh and he mentioned Esau, that the birthright son that found no space for repentance, and Pharaoh that hardened his heart until God hardened it and cut him off. Then he finishes up that thought. He said, what if God, willing to show mercy upon the vessels of honor, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted unto destruction? He wasn't talking about Pharaoh there. He was talking about Israel in her idolatry, that God endured her long with much long suffering until the seed, Jesus Christ, would come, that vessel of honor, that vessel of mercy, until the church was born of the Spirit of God. But what in this day, if in the long suffering of God he endures with much long suffering vessels in the church that are fitted for wrath and destruction, and to show his mercy upon his people? Do you understand that there are people in churches across the nation, around the world, and throughout America especially, that they are hardening their heart against the Word of God? Backsliders that said, I'll come back tomorrow, but tomorrow you're harder than you were today. Lukewarm that said, I'll stir myself tomorrow, but tomorrow you're colder than you were today. Amen. Those that lost their first love, that say, I'm going to come back, but they only pursue the world more. Amen. Until there is no remedy. Praise God. Keep her place right there. Going back to 2 Chronicles. Spirit just brought a verse of Scripture to my remembrance. 36th chapter, 2 Chronicles, 14th verse. Moreover, all the chief of the priests, that's the preachers, and the people, transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen. That's the doctrines of the heathen, the gods of the heathen. Asheroth, Chemosh, Milcom, power, royalty, prosperity. They transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen. Polluted the house of the Lord which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes, and sending betimes meaning early, rising up early and sending, because he had compassion on his people, known his dwelling place. Do you know why? That God will awaken a man of God and give him a message of judgment and a message of warning to his people. It's because God loves his people. It's because God has compassion upon his people. It's because, sinner, that God has compassion upon you. It's because, backslider, that God has compassion upon you. It's because, lukewarm, that God has compassion upon you. And he loves you. And he's not willing that you should perish, but rather that you should come unto repentance. He has compassion upon you. He sends men and women that'll hear from heaven, that'll speak God's truth unto you, that won't fear your face, that'll look you in the eyeballs and tell you that you're going to hell except you repent, and the day of God's judgment is at hand, because he has compassion upon you. He rose up early and sent, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place, but they mocked the messengers of God. You know, somebody's going to leave here this morning and mock this preacher. Maybe to a husband, maybe to a wife, maybe to a friend, maybe to someone on the job tomorrow. Let me tell you what's going to happen to you. Can I tell you right now what's going to happen? And they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people. Whose people? His people. Until there was no remedy. Until there was no remedy. They mocked the messengers. They misused his prophets. They despised his words until God sent wrath upon them, until there was no remedy. Therefore, he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man or him that stooped with age. He gave them all into his hands. Amen. Until there was no remedy. Your heart's been hardened. And every time you reject, every time you pull back, every time you resist, every time you say, another day, another time, I plan to, surely will, but not today. But your heart is being hardened. And there will come a day when God said, when your fear comes, I'll mock at you. When your calamity comes upon you, he said, I'll laugh at you, because you would none of my counsel. You receive not my reproof. He said, I'm going to laugh when you're afraid. Amen. You're going to call, but I'm not going to open to you. In Luke, the 13th chapter, he tells us that the Lord is going to rise up one day. He's going to shut to the door. And then after he shut to the door, he said, they're going to knock and say, Lord, open to us. He said, I don't know where you came from. And they'll say, but Lord, you taught in our street. We ate and drank in your presence. And he'll say, I say to you, I don't know where you came from. Because he'd risen up and shut the door. Right now you can knock and he'll open. Right now you can ask and you'll receive. Right now you can seek and you'll find. But there's coming a time he's going to shut that door, and you'll seek and you won't find. You'll knock and it won't be open. You'll ask and you won't receive. Amen. Because you would not ask in the day of compassion. You would not seek when he could be found. The scripture says, seek ye the Lord early while he may be found. And again, in the day that you seek him with all your heart, he said, I'll be found of you. Seek him early while he can be found. Well, praise God. Going back to Zephaniah. What's God's counsel? Gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree bring forth. Before the day passes the chaff. You see, this day is passing, another's coming. The next day is the day of the Lord. That great and terrible day of the Lord. This day is passing. He said, before this day pass, when Noah entered the ark, God shut the door. When Lot got out of Sodom and fire fell on her, God is filling up the secret place. God is sealing His servants. Over in Revelations, an angel holds back the four winds of judgment and says, blow not, hurt not the earth or the tree or any green thing until I've sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. Amen. God is sealing. God is filling up the secret place. The door's open. You can knock. He'll open. Seek and find. Ask and receive. But if, like James said, if you ask amiss to consume things upon your own lust, then you're not serving the Lord. Over in John, the 6th chapter, there's a scripture I never understood, but my eyes popped open to it the other day, where Jesus said, labor not for the meat that perisheth, but rather for that meat which is unto everlasting life. Just the chapter before, these people had received the loaves and the fishes, and sought to take Jesus by force and put him on a throne and make him a king. And they were saying, we will serve you for the loaves and the fishes. We will serve you. You can be our king. Amen. You can be our master. We'll serve with you. We'll do your bidding. We'll do everything you say if you'll be our king and give us loaves and fishes. And he was saying, don't serve me for the meat that perisheth, but serve me for that meat which is everlasting. Don't make me king, for the things of this world. Don't make me king for prosperity this life. Don't make me king for success in business. Don't make me king for the things of this world. But make me king for that meat that's unto everlasting life. For my flesh is meat, my blood is drink. Serve me because of me. Serve me. He said, because of me. Serve me for my flesh. Serve me for my blood. Serve me for my body. Serve me because I'm your Savior. Serve me because you're redeemed. Serve me because your name is in heaven. Don't serve me for meat that perisheth. How plain and simple can the Lord speak? And the church continues to rush headlong after Milcom, Chemosh, Moloch, Ashtaroth, and saying, we serve the Lord. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass, before this day passes, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you, seek the Lord. Third verse, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought His judgment. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. Now wait a minute. Did that say seek political power, dominion, authority? Seek meekness. Seek righteousness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. The hiding place. Who's it for? The meek of the earth. Those that have wrought His justice. Hallelujah. The meek of the earth, the righteous of the earth. Seek ye the Lord. Seek ye righteousness. Seek ye meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Psalms 91. Again. Hid. The secret place of the Most High. Abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, the noise and pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion of the adder, the young lion of the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him, and with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's the secret place of the Most High. That's the place that the meek and the righteous will be hidden in Jesus Christ. The Lord, your habitation. The Lord, your refuge. The Lord, your trust. Hallelujah. Under His wings, covered with His feathers, not fearing for the arrow by day, the noisome pestilence that walketh by night. 1,000 fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but have not come nigh thee. Only thine eyes. That's the hiding place. He's able to keep you. There's a place of safety. In this darkened world, there's a place of safety. In this time that the pestilence are already beginning to sweep the earth, and the doctors, their hearts are failing them for fear of the thing coming on the earth, because they know even what AIDS is and what it's going to do. They know. But He said it won't come nigh you that have made the Lord your habitation, that hiding place. But let me speak something now
again, those that say, Brother Surfs, I just yet don't know. I don't know if what you're saying is so. I don't know if it's so. I'm going to wait and see. Had a vision this week. I believe it was Thursday night, maybe early Friday morning. But I was over in Atlanta, Georgia, in the vision, just a setting. I don't know any significance, really. But I was there in the city, outside of a large hospital. And I looked up, and I heard the noise of planes in the sky, and I looked up, and the American Air Forces were scrambling. And I watched them as they began to zoom to the south, and their guns began blazing, shooting at something. I never did see what they were shooting at. But I felt an invasion. And I want to make it clear right at this point of the vision. In the end of the vision, I did not feel that I was seeing a military invasion of America. But nevertheless, I saw the American planes scrambling, shooting at an enemy flying down south of Atlanta. I went into the hospital hurriedly. There the news was on, and I heard the news report, and it was telling about the incidents across the nation. But the central focus of the news was Houston, Texas. They said that Houston was receiving the brunt of the attack, and it was worse in Houston than anywhere else in the nation. And I went into one of these rooms in the hospital. Don't know who was there, but they were hearing these reports, and there were people in despair. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I said, I'll tell you what to do. And it's like the vision went back momentarily, and for months before this event, for months. And I believe that we're right now at the beginning of the months that I saw this would be at the end of. Because for months I had been preaching Psalms 91, the hiding place. Seek ye righteousness, seek ye meekness. It may be that ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. And for months I had been preaching Psalms 91. And there were people safely in Psalms 91 at this time. And so I told these people they were terrified of this invasion of the enemy. They said, what shall we do? What can we do? And I said, I'll tell you what to do. And I took my Bible, and I was going to turn over to Psalms 91. I said, Psalms 91. And I searched the Bible. It wasn't there. I went to the book of Psalms, and I turned page by page through all the Psalms. And Psalms 91 wasn't there. It wasn't there. It just as though it had vanished out of the Bible. And there was such a despair that settled in that place because Psalms 91 was not in the Bible. It was gone. As I came out of the vision, the Spirit of the Lord let me to know that not just a military invasion of America. That may happen. I don't know. I don't know. Some believe that it will. I'm not prognosticating, predicting. But what I saw was the time of trouble that's coming upon the world such as never was, nor ever shall be again. That's what I saw. And when the storm pitches in its full fury, in that day that this day has passed and the day of the Lord has dawned and Jesus has not yet returned, and it'll be for another 3.5 years then before He returns. And for 3.5 years, you're either going to be hidden with Jesus Christ or you're going to be suffering the pestilence and the judgments and the terrible calamities of this earth. And you're not going to be in heaven. You're going to be hidden in Jesus. Jesus prayed in John 17. He said, I pray for these that Thou hast given Me. I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from the evil. He didn't pray for God to take us out of the world when trouble would come, but to keep us, to hide us. He's given us an ark, and the door is open. But I want to tell you what God was speaking to me in the vision. When that day dawns, the door to Psalms 91 is closed. The door to the hiding place. You say, preacher, you say there's going to be nobody saved. Yeah, there'll be people saved. There'll be people saved. There'll be people yet be saved out of Babylon, but they're going to suffer the plagues of Babylon because they stayed in Babylon too long. Come out of her, my people, lest ye partake of her sins, lest ye partake of her plagues. And there will be people that'll be awakened and saved out of Babylon, but they'll still suffer the plagues of Babylon because the door was shut when the storm began. You hear what I'm saying to you? If you are not seeking the Lord right now, you're going to go through the most horrible time of trouble that this world has ever seen. That's the reason Luke 21, Jesus spoke and He said, that day cometh as a snare upon the earth. Amen. As upon a woman in travail that comes upon the earth, and pray, therefore, that you may be accounted worthy to escape those things that are coming upon the earth and to stand before the Lord. Praise God, to stand before the Lord. That's that hiding place. You see that term, stand before the Lord, used repeatedly in the last 3.5 years. Elijah for 3.5 years stood before the God of Israel. He's the first man ever used that term. The next place it's used in Zechariah, a prophecy of the two witnesses. The next place it's used is in Luke. Pray that you might be able to stand before the Lord. And then the two witnesses. These are those anointed ones that stand before the God of the whole earth. And they cannot be harmed in that time. They cannot be hurt because they're hidden in Jesus. They're hidden in Jesus. But Psalms 91 is going to be hid in that time. You understand? It's a hiding place. The ark is safely riding above the storm. Hear what I'm saying? The people are perishing without. They're perishing without. Can't even see the ark no more. And perishing without. Climbing to the highest of the mountains. And yet the waters arose. Packing out the high towers. Can you imagine the tops of the buildings? As the flood waters arose. But they kept on arising. No hiding place. No place of safety. No place to run. No place to go. Storm so fierce that they're quickly thrown together crafts, tossed in the winds and dashed and sink and perish. There's no hiding place. The treetops are covered. All the great mountains were covered. Until there was no hiding place. If you weren't in the ark. Seek ye the Lord. Seek ye righteousness. Seek ye meekness. When? Before the decree go forth. Before this day passeth as the chaff. Before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you. Before that day dawn upon you, seek ye the Lord. Seek ye righteousness. Seek ye meekness. It may be that ye shall be hid. That's what Zephaniah said. I'm telling you, there's a hiding place. There's a hiding place. And the door's open. And the Lord is calling the lost, the backslider, the lukewarm. Those that's lost their first love. Those that have followed the doctrines of Balaam and Jezebel. God's calling out of Babylon, come out of my people. Calling out of religion, come out of my people. Gather! Gather unto Jesus Christ before. Before. What you do with this message is between you and God. Some people hate me because I tell them they're not going to have time nor the means to fulfill their life's plans. You can hate me, but I'm going to tell you again this morning. You don't have time to follow the course of this world. This generation is not like any other generation that's ever been before it. And Jesus is soon to return. Jesus is soon to return to this earth. Let's stand to our feet together. Let's just come around the altars, everyone. Saint, the sinner, backslider, whatever your condition is, He said, seek the Lord. Inquire of Him. If you don't know if I'm telling you the truth or not, ask the Lord if I'm telling you the truth. Will you do that? Get on your knees someplace and say, God, I don't know, but if this man's telling me the truth, I want to know. I want to know. Hallelujah. If you're not ready to meet Jesus, it's unlikely you will be tomorrow, or the next day, or the next week, next month. Because right now, it's when God's talking to you. I don't give altar calls as such. I tell you that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. If you'll call upon Jesus Christ for mercy, He'll save your soul. He'll deliver you. He'll set you free. If you'll call upon the name of Jesus Christ for mercy, the shackles that bind you will fall off. Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Jesus, forgive me. Save me. Set me free. Sinner, Jesus Christ shed His blood. And with that blood, He purchased you. And you're not your own, because Jesus bought you. Jesus bought you. What a shame that you should perish when Jesus bought you. But you can call upon Jesus this morning. Forgive me. Save me. Set me free. Have mercy upon me. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my King. Hallelujah. You can ask and you'll receive. You can seek and you'll find. You can knock and He'll open unto you. But I don't believe it's going to be many months until He's going to rise up and shut that door of the hiding place. You're going to be tied to the world. The things of this world. Come unto Jesus. And you're going to go down with the world.
Give Him your life today. Come unto Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah.
Let Him have His way. I know. He'll forgive and forget, my friend, and show you how to live. So come unto Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Give Him your life today. Come unto Jesus. Let Him have His way. Don't you put it off, my friend.
Don't put it off.
You can't afford to wait. Today is the day for you. Never let it be.
Hallelujah.
Come unto Jesus.
Let's lift up our hands and begin to worship the Lord.
Today.
Lift up your hands to Him. Just begin to worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. My Savior, my Savior, my Savior. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. He's your hiding place. He is, Psalms 91. Hallelujah. He's your hiding place. The Lord, your habitation, your refuge, your shelter. Hallelujah. Set your love upon Him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Worship Him. Worship Him. Worship Him. Worship Him. Glorify the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just worship Him. Hallelujah. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven, child of God.
Fill my cup, Lord.
Rejoice that your name is written in heaven.
I lift it up.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're not going to serve Him for the things of this life. We're going to serve Him because He is Lord. He shed His blood. It's He that died for me. We're going to serve Him. Set our love upon Him. Hallelujah. For that meat that's under life everlasting. That meat that's from heaven. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Fill it up.
My Savior, my Savior, my Savior.
I lift it up.
Oh, let's worship Him. Worship Him. Glorify the name of the Lord.
Come and quench.
Hallelujah. Yield yourself up to the Holy Ghost. Yield yourself up to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole.